Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Yeah, I'm here. Memphis, come here a second. How old are you?
10.
10? Did you just turn 10? You look like a young 10. You are doing great on those drums. You think you might could show me a little lick or two? You could? I'm going to hold you to that. Thank you for being here. Thank you for using your gift for God at such a young age. Just great. Amen. Amen. I'm only going to do part of the message today. I've been talking about, started talking 2 weeks ago about the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the things I want you to realize, we talked last week or 2 weeks ago about with every situation that you go through, that there's an invitation from God to experience Him in a way that we've maybe not experienced Him before. So with all the circumstances that we go through, the trials and the hardships that we go through, packaged in that is the presence of God. You're never without Him. If you're a born-again believer, you're never without Him. If you're not born again, you need Him. You need Him in your life if you're not born again. Amen? If you do not have Christ in your life, if you've not repented of your sin and you've not experienced His life, you need Him. But if you have done that, you have His presence. No matter what you're going through, you have an invitation of His fruit being given to us in a way that answers the situation. That's His provision. He gives us His presence. He gives us power, and He gives us provision. We're not ever without it. And what we need to understand is that when we approach different things that we go through, that we need to be aware and conscious of the fact that even in the midst of this, God has provided for me His character, His nature. See, the fruit is His nature. The fruit of the Spirit is His nature. He's provided that to us at that very moment that we're going through. Excuse me. That very moment that we're going through, He has a provision for us that has our name on it. And it's given to us by the Spirit. And we need to activate that. We need to say, God, I see this. We should have an expectation of that. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, that's not something, okay, where's the law written that it is against, it's against the law to do it? See, it's really a lot more than what we think. What that means is the enemy has nothing that can stop the fruit of the Spirit. He is defenseless against it. There's nothing that he can come up with that can stop. Thank you so much. Let me give a hug. Thank you. Do y'all excuse me? It would be rude of me not to take a sip. Thank you again, Cassandra. Because this world is so corrupted by evil that it can permeate right inside the church if we're not careful. And we've got to understand that there is no law. There's nothing that's going to stop love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, and all of it. There's nothing that can stop it. Nothing. Think about that. Just think about that. Just think about it. Just think about it. Nothing can stop it. There's nothing that can rise up against it to prevent it from being fulfilled as we surrender to it. That's a precious thing that we have, because the culture is always creating mindsets for us to not enter into the fullness that God has for us, even though we have the fullness. See, we're not working to get the fullness. We already have it because we have the Spirit of God inside us. But we are transitioning from our spirit into our soul, into our mind, will, and emotion. That is what needs to experience all the fruit of the Spirit, because we need to think. We need to think it. We need to will it. We need to feel. We ought to have the emotion of it. Amen. By the way, let me tell you a little bit about Vicky. Vicky was having a good time with her grandchildren, Vicky Logan, and she has a swing, a portable swing. You can put it here in the yard, you can put it over there in the yard, two people can get it. But anyway, she reached to get one of her grandkids, and when she pulled the grandkid out of the swing, the bar that holds the banner at the top got her right here, and it fractured the bridge of her nose and all. And Brother Doug told me that she can't see out of the left eye. It's swollen. I told her I'd see her in the morning. She said, "I'm not coming in the morning." And then when the doctor came and all, she said, "Could you give me an excuse to miss church?" I know you're watching, Vicky. "Can you give me an excuse to miss church? Because he expects me to be there." But she is doing. They had X-rays and no bleeding, no internal bleeding, and no. She does have the fracture. She bruised her hip and her back a little bit, but she does appreciate all the prayers from the body as well. But I just wanted to update you with that. But I did go in. I went in the hospital, and the guy said she already has a few people in there with her. And I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "But you can go in, and you just ask someone to leave. Just ask. Y'all know what's coming, don't you?" Y'all know me real well, I do believe. But anyway, I went in, and the doctor was in there, and I was hearing what the doctor said. She's going to be fine and all that, so I knew she's going to be okay. So I went and hugged her and said, "You know, we're praying for you, and how are you?" And da-da-da-da. She said, "I'm sore a little bit." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Oh, by the way, I was supposed to tell somebody in this group here, because Pastor Charlie and Miss Lynn was there, and Brother Doug and Kim, her daughter, was there, and I said, "So I've got to ask somebody to leave so we can follow the rules." I said, "Miss Vicky, if you'd step out for a little bit, I'd like to talk to these people." Anyway, she said, "You won't do." And I said, "I do all the time." Anyway, but she is doing well, and all. But we all go through different things. But this world has a way of setting our mind that is against the things of God, because it wants us to perceive everything that God isn't, or that He hasn't fulfilled, or He wasn't enough. God's always enough, and more. But see, the world wants us to shrink back from that and think God just didn't rise to the occasion. But see, that's the world's view. That's the world's way of thinking. That's a mindset that we can adapt to. As a matter of fact, we can become bitter in that thinking. See, it has a It has a theology. The enemy inside of all the circumstances we go through there's a language inside that comes from the darkness, and it brings its theology that God's a failure, that God didn't do what he's supposed to do. So that's the language of the enemy. That's the voice of the enemy, bringing you a theology that is not God. And he wants us to become bitter. He wants us to become distant. He wants us to be... But see, the whole time we're going through that, God's invitation is his fruit. See, the fruit is not a basket. It's an individual thing that we have of the Spirit of God. It's not a basket. You don't get the whole basket. See, you have the fruit of the Spirit. When that moment comes, we use that fruit. You know, if you want a banana, you don't reach and get an orange. You reach and get the banana because that's what you need at that time. That's what you want at the time. See, every fruit, along with every situation, every fruit has a voice. Every piece of fruit has a language and has a voice. How do I know that? Because it's God's nature. Everything about God, he wants to communicate. He speaks. He has a language. That, you know, you've heard me say this before, you know, that I was in a Free Will Baptist and there was a revival meetings going on and everything, and there was a girl that came up and at to the altar call and she was chewing gum. And the visiting evangelist couldn't handle it. He said, "What are you here for?" She said, "Get saved." And he said, "You go, if you don't mind, you just go back, sit down, and you just ask God what he says about that." So she went back and sat down, and she was right back up probably about 3 or 4 minutes later, and she came and she said, "Now I'm down at praying for people," and she said, "I asked him," and the evangelist said, "What'd he say?" And he said, "Okie dokie." Now, some of us will struggle and say, "God can't say okie dokie," but I'm telling you, if that's your language, do you hear me? If that's your language, it's an okie dokie. It's all right. Okie dokie. All right. So in the middle of this, God has the language that's speaking to us. Every fruit has its language. Every fruit has its voice. Speaking that language about that fruit, about love, and the language and the voice about joy. And he's communicating with every deposit that he's communicating how that works. He's talking to us in that language of love and that language of joy and that language of peace. He's speaking to us in a language that we understand, in a voice that we know that it's him. David knew a little bit about it. David knew about revelation. He had a revelation of God. He's way beyond his time in knowing what God was doing with the tabernacle and everything, but he knew God's nature. God said that he was a man after his own heart. Psalms 57, I want you to go there in just a second. Psalms 57, verse 2, it says, "Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me." for my very being trust in you. David is saying, God, I want you to be gracious to me because my very being trusts completely in you. In verse 3, it says, I shall cry to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. So David knew who the Creator was. He knew who God was. He knew about God's presence. And David said, I'll cry to you. I'll cry out to you, O God, the Most High. And he said, you're the one who performs all things for me. So in our need, he's the one that performs everything for us. We just need to surrender. He says in verse 4, he said, God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. See, what we need to hear truth. Because once we hear it and once we come to know that truth, we can be made free. The reason truth is here, the reason truth needs to be spoken, and truth needs to be known, become one with, is for freedom's sake. He wants his people free. In situations, the enemy tries to push us far away from truth because somehow that doesn't line up with what we're experiencing. But David goes on and says, your loving kindness, you'll send forth your loving kindness and your truth. My soul is among lions. My soul is among lions. You know, the Bible talks about the enemy being a roaring lion, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. He said, my soul, my feelings, my mind, my will, and my emotions, I am among lions. I lie among those who set on fire the sons of men. They have a rage about them, whose teeth are spears and arrows. Their words are sharp, and their tongue is like a sharp sword. This is the situation that David is in at this time. This is what David is going through at this time. He's among all these things that wants to devour him, that wants to take him out, that wants to get him to stop following God. Stop serving God. It's too hard. It's too difficult. The tongues, the spears, the arrows, the sharp sword. Verse 7, he said, they have prepared a net for my steps. They've cast a net before me to make me trip up in my walk. My soul is bowed down. My soul is downtrodden. My soul is experiencing a heartbreak. My soul is experiencing a burden. My soul is experiencing going through this difficult time, this difficult season. He said, they have dug a pit before me, into the midst of which they themselves have fallen. So you see God at work, even in the midst of things that, yeah, he feels the sharpness of the words. He feels the brokenness. He feels the pain. He feels all of that. He feels all the roaring of the presence of evil. He senses all of that. And even in the midst of that, he knows and he realizes that they're digging a pit for him to fall in, but he does see that even though they have dug the pit, God has caused the one who did the digging to fall in it. That God's at work sometimes when we don't even recognize it. Verse 8. You see the situation he's in. Lions, the passion of the fire, setting the sons of men on fire. The teeth are like spears. They're like arrows, a sharp sword. They're prepared a net before him to trip him up on his walk with God. That can look a lot of different ways, but it's meant to trip you up from following God. It's meant to trip me up from following God. You see all of that. And then verse 8, he gets to this part and he says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. He's coming down there watching. He's coming. Divide the waters. I love you. What are you supposed to do with that? My heart is yeah. By the way, he's 12. Thirteen's coming up. Am I supposed to slow down? I'm one step ahead or one step behind?
God, like, when you're on one line, when you're supposed to be, like, 7, verse 7, and you were on verse 8, I'm not trying to call you out or anything.
I'm not trying to call you out, but I am doing it. See, I'm on a jet ski, and I need to get me a rowboat.
God tells us, slow down. I have a plan for you. It's okay.
It's okay.
Pass the mic to him?
Yeah.
No way. Not today. No, I give it. Yeah. I'm not trying to call you out, but I am. I love you, brother. I really do. Did I skip a verse? Yeah, that. But that was on purpose. I made a mistake. I'm going too fast, and I made a mistake.
And I forgive you.
And you forgive me. All is well. I said verse. I said verse 8 or verse 7 when it was 8, and he's forgiven me. This is Daddy over here. Yeah, Daddy. You have a great family. You really do. I mean that. They're just great. You can call me out anytime. I'm fine with that. Because I do remember out of the mouth of babes. Okay. Let's see, what verse is it supposed to be?
You were on 7.
I was on 7. Beep. All right.
You said 8, and then you started.
You know what forgiveness means? You don't bring it up again. But we're learning. We're all learning how not to do that. We really are. We really are. We're all learning how not to do that. I really. Can I get back to the part where my heart is fixed? I really want us to get that. It's up here? Yeah, that's a different translation, but it's steadfast. My heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. My heart is confident. My heart is steadfast. My heart is determined. He's going through all of this stuff in 5, 6, and 7. And he's going through all of this stuff. But then he makes this declaration, which is very important. We cannot miss this. He makes this declaration. My heart's fixed. My heart is confident. My heart is steadfast. My heart is settled. My heart is determined. In the middle of all this that I'm going through, my heart is determined. My heart is confident. My heart is fixed. And he says that. What does he say after that? He says, I shall sing and give praise. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm sensing, no matter what the dangers are, no matter what the peril is, my heart is fixed. My heart is confident. My heart is determined. I will sing and give praise. Verse 9, I think, says, awake, my glory. Let me ask you something. Is that verse 9? That's verse 8. That's what you've been trying to tell me this whole time, isn't it? Does anybody have a pen? Bring me that pen. I got news. It's 9 in your Bible. Awake. Awake is verse 8. My heart is verse 7. They have prepared a net. Is that verse 6? That must be verse 9. I shall praise you. And that must be verse 10. I got a feeling if I didn't correct this, I wasn't done hearing from him. Not that he's that way. He just wants his pastors to be correct. And with him here, I got a lot better chance. Here you go, brother. Is it 12 o'clock yet? Maybe I should give him the mic. Next verse. I don't know which one it is. Next verse is a what? Oh, yeah, just. Next verse. After he says my verse 8. Verse 7 is. Let me make sure here. Do you know why the Lord lets this happen to me? To keep me humble. Keep me humble. And to make room for rising men of God. Amen. All right, I'm going to get on my speedboat here. 7, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. My heart is determined. I may be going through all of this. I may be going through this, but my heart is determined. My heart is confident. It's set. And then he says in the next verse, which is verse 8, awake my glory. He didn't say awake your glory. He said awake my glory. He's talking about his character. Awake my character. Awake. I shall praise you among the peoples, my Lord. I shall sing to you among the people. I'll praise your name, and I shall sing to you with everybody listening. Yeah, I'm going through this, but I shall sing to you with everybody. Why? My heart is fixed. My heart is confident. And my character, the character of God is being awakened inside me. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Awakening us. See, with every situation we've been given an invitation. But it also, we've been given, with everything that we believe, there is an action that goes with that belief. With everything that we believe, there is an action that goes with that belief. If you believe that everything is falling apart, you'll have an action that says what you believe is falling apart. I'm going to be worried. I'm going to be anxious. I'm going to be all of this. So we can activate that because that's what we believe, and it calls for an action. So if we believe the fruit of the Spirit is available for us any moment, any time, that we can act upon it, then an action follows that. So we need to have this activated. When we activate fleshly actions, we are out of alignment with what God is saying. When we activate fleshly actions, we're out of alignment with the nature of God. And that means that we are partnering with an inferior instead of the superior. We're partnering with something that is inferior when we start activating fleshly actions. And it sets us to see the world as it is with no hope. And we start seeing and thinking and believing and doing things that actually resist the truth of God. But see, with a heart that is fixed upon Him, upon the fruit, that He has everything available for us at every moment that we live. Every moment that we live. An invitation to let our light so shine before men that when they see the good works, they that see it will begin to give praise to the Father. They'll know that it's God and not us. Amen. We're going to be talking next week about the first fruit, which is love. We'll be talking a little bit about that. But just know this, that when we activate, if God is speaking to you about love, and if you activate that love that He's given you to do that, it lets you see things from a heavenly perspective and not an earthbound perspective. Does that make sense? I want to see more of the kingdom of God operating in me, operating in this world. That's what He said. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So it's all about the kingdom of God. Us entering into His governing power, His governing rule over us. That's the reason He gave that list in the Galatians about the deeds of the flesh. He said, those that practice these, those that make a habit, they have a lifestyle of doing these, will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the ruling of God. They will not inherit the rulership of God. They won't even be under it, because this is their lifestyle. Because in order to inherit, you have to be an heir. If you're not an heir of God, then you won't get that. But you're an heir of God. If you have received Christ, you've repented of your sins, and He's come into you, you are an heir of God. And He said you can inherit all this ruling, all this governing. See, He said over in Revelations that He said God has made us to be kings and priests to rule in the earth. That's part of His governing. That's His kingdom. We have the joy of being under His reign. We have the joy and the pleasure of being under His governing power to govern us, and we receive that and we accept that. So that's the kingdom of God, entering into that. So I want to see things more from a heaven perspective than I do an earthly perspective. How about you? That's fixing your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your presence today. Thank You for the Spirit of God coming, being here and ministering to us, teaching us, and helping us. Lord, put us on the path that we will fix our heart on You. It will be settled. It would be confident. And it would be sure. Thank You again for Your love. Thank You again for Your comfort to this family. And Lord, I thank You that You've never left us, You've never forsaken us, and You never will. We worship You today with our hearts fixed on You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, then I want you to come down front. The rest of you can go. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.